Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
So I've been doing a series on spirit and truth, and I kind of want to talk about truth because we've been really hitting the side on the spirit. But if you're going to move in the spirit, if you're going to do miracles, if you're going to partner with God to do things, you need both, and you need truth, and truth really has to be part of that. So I want to talk about spirit and truth. Today's message is entitled From the Heart, because the heart is really the place where it flows from, and that's the source and the center. Proverbs 4, verse 20. Father, I pray you bless your word. I pray, God, that you would let it accomplish exactly what you've called it out today to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 4, verse 20, it says, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes, and keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Now I want you to think about that muscle, that most important muscle, that heart muscle. Think about the heart muscle. It's probably maybe the size of my fist. You got this muscle in your body. How many of you know that muscle beats like 100,000 times a day? Can you believe it pumps about 2,000 gallons through it? 2,000 gallons. We've been doing some landscaping and we have little fountains with pumps, you know, these little dinky pumps. And you know, you may have like, we have a pool, you have a giant pool pump that's, you know, races all the stuff through. That little tiny pump in your body, that muscle pumps thousands of gallons a day through your body. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Do you realize that there's over 60,000 miles of blood vessels through your body? It pumps through 60,000 miles. I mean, isn't that crazy how intricate you were made? And how God knows exactly what it takes to push that blood that brings life to every part of your body. I was thinking about this and I just thought, what a picture of his body, the body of Christ. As I was looking it up and I was just looking up some facts on the heart. And do you know that your heart has an electrical system? Some of you really understand the electrical system. My mom's heart, she had arrhythmia. And the arrhythmia would cause problems with the electrical system in her heart, and then her heart would start racing and beating too fast, and you know, it was just horrible, the things we'd go through. She'd be in the hospital, have to go there, tell her heart to stop racing and, you know, bring it down, and you know, sometimes they actually had to even paddle and shock her with electricity to reset the heart. But isn't that amazing that your heart has an electrical system? It's called the cardiac conduction system. You know, some would call the heart the miracle muscle. I mean, like, you know, we're all about muscles, but that muscle is the most important muscle. I can remember riding mountain bikes with some of these guys here in the church, and, you know, I have strong legs. I got some calves and thighs, so I could push those muscles. But it's that muscle is the one that you're like, you know, you got to get blood. If you're not working that muscle, you can have all the muscles you want, you know. Those muscles aren't going to mean anything, but that muscle is the most important muscle in your body. I was thinking about it. Think about that. God, you know, God designed you so that God would take the seat of your heart. That God's place in your life would be right there. That God would take a seat right at the heart of your life. That he would be right there at the core. That you know, that God has a power source. He calls his power the Holy Spirit. He said, go wait for power from on high. Jesus said, go wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. Go wait for power from on high. It was important. So God wants that power in your heart, and the power of God inside our hearts. What a beautiful correlation. You know, daily he pushes blood. He pushes life to his body. Whether you're here with a whole bunch of people and you may be really close to the heart of something awesome, you could be just a missionary way out in the bush, right? And God still will bring life to you. We've been to some crazy places. We've backpacked in and crossed streams and camped where no trucks and cars go, and brought the gospel of Jesus Christ into the bush. How many know God will bring life to all the extremities of the body? And when life stops going there, that's not good for those body parts. Are you here? So your heart needs to be able to push to all those body parts, or you have problems. Are you with me? And in the body of Christ, God needs to bring the life to all the body of Christ, or the body as a whole. So in Ephesians, he talks about the fivefold ministry. That's awesome, the fivefold. We're coaches and trainers. You have the apostolic, the prophetic, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist. They're trainers, they're teachers. But then he talks about how each individual part has to grow, and as each individual part does its part, it adds to the growth of the whole. So we see the body of Christ, and we see this correlation. And, you know, I was thinking about it, and so there's over 60,000 miles of blood vessels, but yet God gave us 66 books called the Bible. Hello, somebody. That brings life to us. You know, and some people are like, man, I just need a word. I just need a word. I just need a word. There's 66 books right there. There's thousands of words waiting for you. Open your Bible. You know what I mean? No, I just need a word. I need someone to speak a word to me. It's like God's waiting to speak his word to you all the time. Every day I listen for words, and those are the most powerful words. But then I read the word. And then he breathes on the word, and it becomes rhema, and you like jumps off the page, and you're like, oh man, that was for me today. And he's like, I was just waiting to speak to you. So sometimes it's like we can look for the, I was just telling somebody that, you know, if you always look for the supernatural and the spectacular, you'll miss God. So if the heart is damaged, it takes more energy for that heart to pump out to the parts of the body. So you don't want a damaged heart. You want to protect your heart. If your heart's not functioning proper, it drains your strength, and you don't have the strength in life. If your blood's not pumping and you're not getting circulation, you know when you get a headache, there's swelling sometimes that cuts off the blood circulation to your brain, and that's why you're out of it. Are you with me? So God tells us in Proverbs to protect and to mind our hearts. And spiritually, we need to look at that, and we need to get the word of God into our hearts. God needs to be centered in our lives. When God's centered, life flows to all the parts of our body. And when he's not centered, then we have a problem. And that's why God gives us this word of instruction. I love how the NASB says it. He says in verse 23, he says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Watch over it with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. So we talked about in these previous weeks how Jesus wants us to be a fountain. Jesus was the fountain of eternal life. In John 7, he talked about it. But when we're flowing with life, it affects everyone around us. And so when it's flowing to us, then life comes all around, you know, and when it's not flowing, it affects the people around us. We're supposed to transform the society around us. So we come in and we get inspired. You wake up and you get inspired. You talk to God, you get inspired, and that affects everyone around you. You're like a fountain. We overflow onto people. So if it's not flowing to us, it's not going to flow through us. So it's important that we watch over our hearts. And that's what he's trying to tell us, because we need to get that word in our hearts. Jesus emphasized the importance of it. In Luke 6:45, he said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So if somebody's telling you, man, there's some stuff coming out of your mouth that's kind of polluted right now, you know, it's not real good what's coming out of your mouth. You have a heart issue, not just a mouth issue. I'm going to preach to this side. If something's coming out of your mouth, and sometimes you're not the one who sees it, somebody tells you and say, do you realize that right now you're being pretty negative? You might need to rethink something down in here. So when your mouth's not speaking right, it's probably a heart issue. And some people go, oh, that person, they're saying all this stuff, but they have a good heart. It's really the opposite. Their heart's messed up right now. All people are good, but like they're, you know, it's like, you know, they have a good heart. It's like, well, if they had a good heart, it'd come out of their mouth. It's really their heart issue. They need to deal with the heart. You know what I mean? But people are good because God made them in his image. So people aren't bad, but sometimes we can do and say bad things, and we can let our hearts get messed up. So we got to get to the pumper. We got to get to the, you know what I mean? We got to get to what's circulating. You know, we have a fountain right now. I looked, I said, you know, babe, I got to change the water out there. It's looking a little funky in that fountain. That pump's pumping it through. It's like, we want to pump through, we want to bring life to people, not death. We want to speak things from our mouth that bring life. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Well, I'll tell you, if the pumper's pumping and that's the fountain and it's coming out, it's because we need to get it wholesome here so it'll be wholesome there. Are you with me? And so our mouth is an indicator, and we need to not neglect that. Have you ever said something you thought, I can't believe I said that? God, can you like do something in here? Because I repent, and I can't believe I just said that. Have you ever been there? Yeah. So, you know, and sometimes, like, I can't imagine having, like, a chronic illness or having a bad heart, like, people that have to deal with that, people who don't have strength and energy. I feel so much because it's just you're getting ripped off, right? You look at somebody and say, you can't go running because, you know, you can't or you can't do these things, and you're getting ripped off. Well, the devil wants to rip us off spiritually, so he always wants to pollute this thing so that we are not ticking, we're not clicking at the pace we should. We're not doing what we're supposed to, or the potential we have. John 10:10 says it this way: a thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have life more abundantly. So some people say, I'm going to serve the devil and party. He wants to kill you. You want to kill me? Let's go party. Wait, I'm going to partner with the devil, and he wants to kill me. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. His job description is pretty clear. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So it's like, party, yeah, we're going to couple up here. And he's like, I'm going to rob you, rip you off, and hope to kill you. Separate you from love? I don't know. It's not the guy I want to hang out with. I don't want to partner with that. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I like that. Eternal life literally is the life of the world to come. And that world to come is beautiful. That world to come doesn't have betrayal in it. That world to come doesn't have tears in it. It doesn't have sickness in it. It doesn't have all the stuff that just, blah, you know? All the stuff in life that you have to battle through here on earth, that's not there. Heaven doesn't have any of that stuff. And while we're here, we get to have a little heaven on earth. Now, that's awesome. We get a little heaven on earth while we're here. And when he says it in John chapter 3, when he wrote that, the word speaks about this, that you may have. It's present tense. It indicates that once we're born again and we have a Savior, that we should begin to experience this life. We should begin to experience. We should have fruit that shows we have this life. Are you here? I'm a Christian just suffering through it. It's like, I hope there's more than just the suffering. I mean, every tree has a season, and sometimes there's like not much fruit on the tree, but it better be coming up. It better be seasonal. Huh? I heard someone say, if you catch hell, don't hold it. And if you're going through hell, don't stop. Just keep going. I know there's another season, God. If I have to go through it, I have to go through it, but get me through it fast. Don't just camp out and pitch a tent and put your address on it. This is me. I'm just one of those. My lot in life is to just go through it. You're not the Savior. He died on the cross. May sound good, but like that's not how it works. He died for us. He took our sins, and we have eternal life. And yes, we'll go through a season, and yes, we get pruned sometimes only to grow more, but we should be seeing the fruit because he has a plan and it's good, and he's a good, good daddy. So number one, first point is we got to give attention to truth. Now that would be the opposite, would be neglecting something. Have you ever felt neglected? How's that feel? Huh? No elbows in marriages right now, but you know, being neglected doesn't feel good. Huh? Children, you ever felt like your parents had the mute button on? You're trying to talk and nobody's listening. You ever felt like that through life? No one likes to be neglected. So, but he's saying give attention to truth. God doesn't like it when we put his word on mute. God doesn't like to be neglected. God doesn't like it when we wake up and we don't even want to talk to him. He likes that interaction. You're created for a relationship. You're in his family now. Christianity is a relationship. That's a beautiful thing. And so give attention to truth and treat it like a relationship. Treat it like a love relationship. He says, Proverbs 4:20, he says, my son, give attention to my words. It isn't, you mechanical Christian, let me just tell you this method, this step. It's like you're a daughter, you're a son. He's appealing to you. He's appealing as a father to a child, a loving father to a beloved child. This is God. God, and if you look through Proverbs starts it out that way. In Proverbs chapter 1, he says, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and don't forsake the teaching of your mother. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, he says, my son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments, making your ear attentive to skillful and godly wisdom, and inclining and directing your heart. So we need to pay attention. We need to incline. And then in Proverbs 4, what we were looking at in the Passion Translation, I love this verse 20. He says, listen carefully, my dear children, to everything I teach you, and pay attention to all that I say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. If that doesn't embody this whole thing, we could just go home right there. That's what I'm trying to communicate, is that we need to fill our hearts with his word till it penetrates deep in our spirit. Not just got that, read that, but like, oh, I really have that. I like the psalmist said, thy word I've hidden in my heart. We need to get it in there and just like, oh, let it penetrate deep inside of me. See, the spirit and the truth are connected, and it is the spirit of truth. So when you get the word and you get truth, it's like, oh, when you're lacking one, it's so hard. So the first thing is you need to give attention to truth. And 1A, we need to give attention to your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance. And above all, you may guard out of what flows the springs of life. You know, we need to guard those things. So if you look at Military would have body armor on. They're trying to guard something. You know, our police officers have body armor. They're guarding the heart. They're guarding all the vitals. You know, that Kevlar is there for a reason, because they're guarding that. Shooting, get shot in the hand, you'll move on. Get shot, you might not move on. Are you with me? Guard this heart. And spiritually, we need to feed it with the word of God, put God in the center of it, and not let our hearts get on tilt. That's why I was just telling somebody, I was saying something. I said, you know, that one of the devil's greatest strategies is to get people offended so that their heart gets offended, so that they leave and say, I don't need you. Pastor Taylor doesn't really like me. You know, he doesn't really care about me, and then nobody cares. I'm going to go eat some worms. Nobody loves me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And the best way to be a friend is to go be a friend. And so there's people you can connect with, but if you get disconnected because you bought into the lie that you don't matter, that's a heart issue. So we need to give attention to our heart. Jesus makes a reference in Matthew 6:21. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. He's showing us that the heart isn't just the emotion. It isn't just the seat of emotion. This is where your values as well. And he speaks of this word when he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. He's showing us that this has to do with our values. This is more, our heart also reflects our values, our priorities and our practices. So if we're practicing things that aren't godly, it shows that it's a heart thing. If we're practicing things that are godly, it shows that it's a good heart thing. Are you with me? It shows your heart's in a good place. And if you prioritize things that are good spiritually, so God will keep his seat in your heart, then that means that's a value in your life. You valued it, because what you value, your priorities and practice. Your values are your priorities and practices. Are you with me? So whatever you value, you're gonna prioritize it and you're gonna do it. So some people say, well, I really value God, I love God. And it's like, well, are you prioritizing God and practicing spending time with God? Huh? That would be like saying, we're going on a date, I really care about you. What are you doing Friday? We're going to the movies. and you're going to sit home. And then I have a day off on Monday. What are we doing? Well, I'm going out down to the beach and you get to sit home. It's like, wait, I thought you valued me. You're going to prioritize spending time with me. Pretty soon then the person you're in covenant with is going to go like, you say you love me, but you're not making me, I'm not anywhere on your priority list. I'm way down here. It doesn't feel good, does it? So it's a spoken value, but it's really not practiced. And what I'm saying is, I'm not trying to be sharp. I'm really trying to communicate with a loving, loving heart. When my wife says, I want to spend time with you, I'm like, yeehaw, I want to spend time with you. Because we're in covenant, I love you. Let's go walk on the beach. Let's do something. When God wants to speak to me, it's like, I wanna speak. Someone was asking me, how do you know when God's waking you up? I'm like, well, I know when I wake up and I'm like ping right away without drinking green tea. Hello, uncaffeinated and I'm awake. That's God. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's a God sign. I'm going to get up and go, what do you want to say? Oh, man, let's spend some time together. But I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to still get up and caffeinate it and sit there and still talk to God. Are you here? Because I'm going to discipline myself until I hear those delightful words. Everybody wants delight, but you got to discipline. And then out of discipline comes the delight. So it's just the way it works in a covenant relationship, and God's no different. But if we don't personalize it, then we just make it what it's not supposed to be. Number two is God promises us life. Now, if God promises it, then it's going to happen. And you're not the exception. You can't just say, well, everybody's having this good life, but I don't have it. It's just the way it is, and I'm supposed to just trudge through unhappy until Jesus comes. Matter of fact, I wish he'd come quicker because I want to go to heaven. That's not right. We got to get something right in here. You really should be enjoying it here. And if you just want to go away, then something's wrong. And I want to go be with Jesus, but like Paul said, you know, I really want to be with Jesus, but there's a world to change around us, and I want to experience what he has for me. So God promises life. He said, for they are life to those who find them, health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away a deceitful mouth and a perverse lips far from you. He's trying to give you some tips. He's saying, here's some training tips. Don't do these things if you want to experience this. He's not just saying, don't you do these things. Don't you be this way. Just to say, don't. There's a purpose. The purpose is we get life. He wants us to have life. So as a papa, you know, Lauren starts to go out in the street and you're going to yell, stop, because you don't want her to get run over. So the purpose is you want her to have a long life. So you're telling her, don't do that right now. But she's got to listen to her papa and say, don't do that, because he wants me to live. And I know if I hear my daddy's voice, it's because he loves me. See what I mean? So we got to know that even when God's correcting us and saying, don't step out there, don't go there. I call them stop signs. Sometimes you feel a spiritual stop sign, like you're not supposed to go do this thing. Are you with me? I'm going to do this, and you feel like, I don't know, it feels weird. It feels like I shouldn't do it. Don't do it. Because God's trying to tell you, don't run in the street. Something's going to happen. You got to listen to him. We got the word and the spirit, they work together, and God, he'll constantly speak to you, and the Holy Spirit will come, and because God promises us life. That's his promise. So yes, there's a path, but there's a promise. So he's telling us how to stay full of life. I love this. If you look at the last words of people, Martin Luther, part of his last words, he said, our God is the God who cometh salvation. God is the Lord by whom we escape death. Now, I know he's talking about being saved from death to life, but we get rid of death because that's God's job. He gets rid of death and he brings life. I mean, I don't like to be the walking dead. I don't want to be just making it through life, just pushing through till Friday, just trying to, like, you know, to tolerate the people around you. That's not living. That's not life. That's not the abundant life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Where's that abundant life? I want the abundant life. And if Jesus said it, then we're leaving it on the table if we're living less than the abundant life. So God is constantly coaching. And if we're not experiencing life, we're not listening. He's constantly coaching us to have eternal life, but abundant life. So if we're not having abundant life, it means we're not listening to our coach. You know what I mean? So I will coach people, and if I tell that they're not listening, I'm just going to stop coaching. Because I'm not going to just waste my breath. There's people that are really hungry to grow and to learn. You know what I mean? Like if you're discipling somebody and you're walking someone through this and these guys are hungry and you talk to them and they're like, yeah, okay, all right. Dominic's one of the most correctable people I know. If he does something, he'll go, yeah, okay, and he'll shift. And sometimes he blows it. Sometimes he's not there. It's like, where are you, Dominic? And he's like, okay, I'm gonna receive correction. But that's okay. If you're correctable, you'll make it. Like a coach, hey, you got to lean down a little farther. You're missing those balls. They're going by you. It's like, okay, I got to get a little deeper in my dip. You know, it's a small change, and you make it. Spiritually, we just need to have people who can coach us. And we need to listen, not only to people. That's what the pastors, your leaders, that's the fivefold ministry's job, is to coach you so you can fulfill your mission, but also to listen to God. Bible tells us he who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, he is saying, all seven churches in Revelation, he said, he who has an ear to hear. We're to be people who have an ear to hear what the Spirit's saying. We are to expect the Holy Spirit to speak to us and lead us and guide us. We should be expecting wisdom. We should expect an answer when we're asking. Are you with me? That's just part of it. So God promises this life, I want it all, but I need to make sure I'm a good listener. And sometimes leaders, we're going to get somewhere, and we lead somewhere, and we figure it out. We made a wrong turn, and we have to go back, and it's twice as hard to get back, but we're going somewhere. That's a good trait, but Peter was like that. He's going to go, and Jesus is like, if you just listen, Peter dropped the sword, but the ear's already cut off. Okay, I'll put it back. Whom? Probably wouldn't have done that if you listened the first time. Peter, but I love you. And that's God. He's like, listen. Because if we live, and oh, he tells us, I love in Proverbs 3:21, he says, or 3:22, he says, and they will be life to your inner self. It's like, can I just give you a hint? If you're not happy in here, you're just faking it out here. And you need to be cordial to people when you're going through it. You don't get to go around and just go like, rah, rah, you know. We don't get to be grumpy gills everywhere. You know, we don't get to dump our stuff on people, but we need to deal with what's in here. And God's given us life in here. If we just listen and we connect and we do and we say, God, I'm going to let your word come in. I'm going to let you tutor me. Every day I'm going to come to you. And in Proverbs 4:13, he says, take firm hold of instruction and do not let it go. Guard her, for she is your life. Sometimes we got to hold on to the word of God hard because it's like everything in me is saying to make a different decision, but I know what the word of God says. We got to hold on tight and do what God said. And Proverbs 4:10, he says, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. The years of your life shall be many. I'm convinced that some people, maybe they die young because they reject God's word and they're not listening and paying attention. I mean, like, we all have a time. And I mean, I'm convinced, you know, people, anyway. This life is ours. So we need to receive and to move into it. And the last thing is, which brings us to our third point, because he tells us that I want to just give you some practical ways to walk out this truth. He tells us to walk in it. Number three is walking in truth. So he tells us, if you read the next few verses, we stopped at 24. Let's read 25, 26, 27. He says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or turn to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So he's telling us to stay on the path, and the path and the way is used to describe our actions or our conduct. So he's basically saying, when he says stay on the path, he's not just talking about drive. He's saying keep your conduct and your actions. So how do you do that? Well, don't partner with rebellion. That's a good way. Keep a clean heart. Those are good things. You know, when you act out and partner with rebellion, you can't like partner with God and partner with rebellion. So you've got to turn from that and repent. And repent is an awesome thing because we turn to a loving God who's just waiting with open arms like the prodigal to receive us back. So a few things that he tells us, 3A, is keep your eyes focused. We have to keep our eyes focused. Any athlete, any person, what you're driving, keep your eyes focused. You know, all you have to do is look away. You'll go where you're looking. You're looking off the side of the road, you're going to drive off the side of the road. Huh? I told people this. Teresa, first time on a mountain bike, she did the cornice from Mammoth Mountain's highest peak, 10,000 plus feet down the mountain on a mountain bike. But I told her, I said, But I told her, I said, follow me, but I said, do not look over the side of the cliffs, because where you look, you'll go. That was her basic instruction. Follow me. Let's go. She jumped out of airplane. She dove a shark. She's awesome, an adventurer. Some people were looking at me. The guy was looking at me like, she's renting a bike and she's going to the top and she's never rode a bike. He's looking at me like, you're evil. And I'm like, babe, don't look over the side. And the cliff was crazy. If you look there, you go there. But as long as she looked at my trail and looked at the trail, we went all the way down. She's like going down the mountain. She did awesome. But like, you don't look there. You'll go there. And so the Bible's telling us we have to monitor our eyes. If you have lazy eyes and you're just like, you turn the channel and something's there, don't look there. You can shut your eyes. Watch this. Okay, I'm not skilled like our children's pastor. I can't dance with my eyes, okay? I can shut them though. And you just shut them. When do I reopen them? When you hear the music change. Come on, I have three sons. I've trained them. If something's sketchy, shut your eyes. I'm talking about when you're watching a movie or a television flashes you. Doesn't it do that sometimes? Can we be real in here? Unless you just watch cartoons, and even those you might have to shut your eyes. But life can do things. Shut those eyes, because I shut the input. When do I open them? Listen to the music. You'll tell when the mood changes. You know, it shifts. They moved on in the movie. I'm just letting you know, you can train them and you can close them. You can discipline them, your eyes, not to, because when you put that stuff in, now you got to delete it. It's like, who wants junk? So keep your eyes focused on the path of God. And it says in Proverbs 4:25 in the Passion Translation, he says, set your gaze on the path before you with fixed purpose, looking straight ahead. Ignore life's distractions. You have to identify what's a distraction. Some distractions are really appealing, and they're a distraction. Huh? Can I tell you this? Con artists are constantly trying to distract you, and they will use lust to distract you. You can have all this if you do that. Someone was just sharing with me. They're trying to sell something. They're like, I will give you double the money, but it was a distraction for a false money order. Con artists rip you off because of greed, and the devil uses the same technique and tactic, and he tries to tell you can have something that you're never going to have, and you start focusing on something that you're never going to have because he gets you off the path. Are you with me? We got to detect a distraction and say, mm-mm, not going there. I'm going to catch this. So I'm trying to be practical. Keep your eyes focused. And can I just, I want to ask you, who practices the first and the final 15? Who tries to do that? You trying to do it? First 15 minutes of the day, you focus on everything that's good, healthy, pure, holy. You're not letting any junk come in. Last 15 minutes before you go to sleep, you're meditating on everything that's peaceful, pure, holy, and of good report. You're focusing on the testimonies of God, the praise of God. You're praising. If you do the first and final 15, you'll watch amazing things shift in your life. That's one good thing. But we need to stay focused. So focus in the beginning and focus, because a lot of times what you go to bed thinking of is what you're going to wake up thinking of. So the first and the final 15 are really good things to practice. But we want to practice getting full of God. And then, so one, keep your eyes focused. And anyone will tell you that. You know, I used to compete in fighting. You have to keep your eyes focused. You have to focus on your opponent or you're going to get whooped. You focus on what you're doing. And the next one is keep your footing sure. Another one, you know, if you're training, you got to keep your footing. And that's applicable in all kinds of sports. We need to keep our footing sure. And he says in Proverbs 4:26, watch where you're going, stick to the path of truth, and the road will be safe and smooth before you. We have to be purposeful about the truth path that God has set out in our lives and not try to take these shortcuts the devil's going to throw at you, and they're dead ends. You know, I always talk about the wilderness. If you're going on a wilderness trail and you see a shortcut that goes straight down the mountain and it looks so much shorter, it's definitely a trail that someone cut in there. It's not the trail. Right here. You'll go down it and then, you know, it's a shortcut. It's like someone cut and tried to cut the way and they're just eroding our mountains. It's like stay on the path and watch what God does. The next one is one, keep your eyes focused. Two, keep your footing sure. And sometimes you don't know, and you have to ask the Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to do? And you'll feel good. Talk to him. Am I supposed to go this way? And if you're going and you go, this doesn't seem right, Get out of there. Don't go there. Turn your car around. Go a different way. Do something different. Sometimes even driving home on a way, God will tell you, drive a different way, and you find out there's a big wreck going on. And just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And then the next one, and this one's really a practical one as well, and we'll end with this one, is you got to keep your pace consistent. You got to be consistent, okay? And pace in the first place. So he says in Proverbs 4:27, Passion Translation, he says, don't allow yourself to be sidetracked even for a moment or take the detour that leads to darkness. We can't even detour. We need to stay consistent God. Not God for 3 days and party for four. Not God for six and party for one. How about we stay on God's path and just avoid that other one? You know, oh, well, I'm just going to have a bad day and have a bad attitude only for a few hours every day. How about we stay consistent? Consistency is really important. Can I just tell you this? 21 days makes a habit and 21 days breaks a habit. So if you have a bad habit, just commit to do something for 3 weeks, and at the end of 3 weeks, it'll be easy to become a habit. Breaking it or making it. Daniel, what did he do? 21 days. Just do something different. Well, I really need to exercise. Just go exercise and talk with God for 3 weeks. Say, I'm going to walk with you for 3 weeks, God, and do a walk, and then let it turn into a run or do something. I'm being negative. Do a negativity fast for 3 weeks, 21 days after just catching yourself not to be negative, asking everyone around you, if I start to go negative, just give me a timeout. It's negative. Okay, shift it. After 3 weeks, you'll be different, and it'll be easier for you to speak positive and to make declarations. Reading your Bible, just do 3 weeks. Just make a three-week commitment. Don't do the five-year plan and, you know, try right away for 5 hours a day. Just start with 3 weeks. I'm going to read the word for 15 minutes a day, 3 weeks. That's it. And at the end of 3 weeks, you won't want to stop because you'll be like, I made a habit and it's just bringing life to me. Are you with me? 3 weeks, watch what happens. So we got to be practical. For this heart, we put truth into our eyes and it comes into our body, but it seats in our heart and we let it come down into our heart. And as we do these things, just practical things, it'll shift and change our life. So even as we went all the way from the top, if we give attention to truth, and those of us who've neglected our Bibles, get a new translation, do something that spurs you on to want to hunger for truth again. But we have to hunger for truth and give attention to our hearts on what's in us. Really take an evaluation of what's there, and don't get bummed if you don't like it. Change it and try the three-week plan. And just remember, God's promise is life. That's his promise. You're going to have life. You're going to have a good life. And just stop thinking, if you bought the lie that you're not going to be the happy person, you bought a lie. You have a good life. No, it's just not me. You bought a lie. Repent for the lie and say, I'm not biting into that lie ever again. No, God's plan for me is really good, and it's life, abundant life. Can you stand with me today? As we do, as you just walk in some simple things and say, okay, I'm going to walk it out. I'm going to keep my eyes. I'm going to stand on the word of God. That's what the Bible tells us, is that basically that we plant these feet and they're shod with that gospel. We plant them in the word, and I'm going to constantly keep a pace with God. How's that work? Well, you just try not to do anything spiritual for 3 weeks and tell me about your spiritual flow of life. Just don't read the word. Don't go to church. Don't do anything for 3 weeks. How about we don't do that? You know, so many people, they skip and then they go, I don't know what happened to me. It's like, because you weren't consistent. Even an athlete can train and train, but if you go 3 weeks and you don't do it, you'll lose all the cardio you built up. You'll lose your base. You have to rebuild it. So I just pray for you right now, and I pray, God, that you would just take some practicals. But what the bottom line is it's life in a family with a loving God. Can we start there? If you're here and you just say, I need to start there. Do you just know that you're his son? Do you know you're his daughter? Do you know that he loves you and that his plan is so good for you? Because that's the starting point, that you're a loving father and that life's going to flow and I have a good life in you. I'm probably your favorite. You need to get that mentality. All you, you're all God's favorite. I don't know how he does it, but you're all his favorite. Just start there. Make an adjustment. It's a relationship and he's calling you out. And maybe you never had a relationship with your father or never had a relationship with your mother. Maybe you never had a relationship that was positive and affirming and loving. But God's just waiting with it. That's his promise for you. He loves you so much. And I just pray right now that he would just invade your heart. And could you just pray this prayer with me and just say, Father, I just repent. Just cleanse my heart. Come on, there's something. And you can say, well, you know, I don't have major things. It's okay. We can repent for minor things too. Just cleanse every heart in this room, God. And if there's anything he's showing you, just say that too, all of it. And I just pray the blood of Jesus would cover it. I pray it would cover what we put in our eyes, what comes out of our mouths, what we do with our hands, where our feet walk. I pray it would go into our friendships, into our covenants, into our sports, our hobbies, our activities. I pray it would go in our practices, with our spiritual practices, how we do community and do we do community well. And I pray that you would just bring us to that place of spiritual family where we flow in family and that we're consistent in the things that you've given us because we recognize life and life more abundant. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.
You can't.